Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves Podcast. I've been waiting a while to get this gentleman on the pod. I heard him on Luke Story's podcast talking about light and the impact of light and spectrums of light. And I just really nerded out. And I don't think that we, for those listening or watching, that we really consider the deep impact of things like cell phones, of not being aligned with sunlight and how that affects our biology. And after I heard Brian Richards on Luke's podcast, I was like, all right, this is the nerd for me. This is the guy. So welcome to the podcast.
It's definitely a compliment.
I mean it in the most complimentary way too, in like, I can't wait to nerd out on this. And I you know, I'm curious, first off, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Mark. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm curious how, like, do you find that, you know, if you're looking at 100% of society, like what percent are even thinking that they're being impacted by light and all that stuff? And what's the cost of not doing that, of not paying attention? How's that showing up?
Yeah, it's, and I would say from my perspective, it's the vast majority. You know, you can look at certain statistics, like the average American gets 7 minutes of sunlight a day. And just look holistically at the world we live in. There's like two things going on. On the one hand, we're conditioned to think that we're greater than nature, that we can innovate technology. And, you know, we've assumed this almost like godlike role, but not in union with the divine, but rather in replacement. With that assumption comes certain other assumptions, like nature doesn't affect us. We influence nature. It's not the other way around. And that's not true. Biologically, we have very ancient programming. And up until very recently, we didn't have electricity, man-made EMF, and we lived outdoors. And if you go way far back, the only time we were indoors was basically when we were sleeping and getting some shelter. Otherwise, all day long, even if we're taking a nap, you know, we're outside under the tree. And that experience is not just nature and grounding and fresh air. Those things are immensely important. It's also experience with the sun, the actual direct exposure to the sunlight for hours a day, and being in harmony with the cyclical nature of the sun and also the moon. So we're out there, we're experiencing all that. And I'm sure we'll talk a lot about how these things, how light influences us, the light from nature. And then the other thing that I feel we suffer from in the West particularly is that we've, at the same time, we're like, oh, we know better than nature. We also say, I don't know better than the experts. And we give away our power and our choice to understand and to create our own perspective. We give that way all day long. And we're conditioned to do that from a very young age in public school and just being raised by a family. It's the nature of that situation. You know, you're told what to do a lot. You don't get a lot of choice in the beginning. I think the original intention of raising a divine being, raising a child, is to create someone who's independently thinking, observes things in their environment, observes and has thoughts and emotions, and they synthesize their own perspective. They don't wholesale like take programming, conditioning, and truths and beliefs from any external source, because everything we have is within. And I don't just mean metaphorically, like all the knowledge that we have, we already have. Actually, I don't feel like we learn anything. We only awaken and remember knowledge, perspective, awareness that's already there. So those two things together, like being, you know, giving our power away and thinking that we're independent of and better than nature, has led to a big misunderstanding of light and its role in our lives. Just in the human body, our DNA, which is our master programming that makes everything in our cells, in our body, it emits light. And we know people have actual auric fields. They have light fields, and you can measure this with cameras now. And so we're giving off light. We're living out normally in nature where we're bathed in sunlight every day. And we even have the moonlight as well. But just talking about sunlight, that's the only source of light in nature that we have. We later figure out a way to mimic the sun by creating fire. And there's a beautiful podcast on the Emerald, actually, that goes into the history of fire, culturally speaking. But So the sun is the only thing that's out there. There was never any pulsing light, flickering light. There was never any blue only light sources like we got nowadays that we'll talk about. It's only the sun. The sun is an incandescent light source. In nature, when you heat up materials really hot, they emit light naturally in a very particular way. And so the sun has all these wavelengths. We call it full spectrum light. And most people think, oh, I'm getting vitamin D from the sun. That comes from ultraviolet wavelengths. Ultraviolet is a small portion of the sun's emission. The sun has ultraviolet light, visible light, and then it's mostly infrared. And within infrared, it's actually mostly near infrared. If you look at this, you can look up a sun's spectrum, the solar spectrum online. In fact, over 70% of the power, the wattage we absorb from the sun is near infrared. From the sun, we're getting like some benefit from ultraviolet light. We also get some benefit from blue light. It stimulates melatonin production in the pineal gland in the brain that can then gets released after sunset into the body and helps program our sleep and our circadian rhythm. But there's no doubt that at the same time, those are killer wavelengths. So the ultraviolet light damages our DNA. It's called ionizing radiation. And blue light's right next to it. It's not quite ionizing, but it's very stressful to the cells in the body. And that's why when you work with your computer and you work with LED lights and screens and you have LEDs in your home, there's this stress that's coming from it. But if we go back to the sun, you get a little bit of that stuff. You get the benefit that I mentioned from those. And then the negative effects, the stress, are completely counteracted with a way huger dose of near infrared light. And near infrared light is this magical band of light. It's the majority of the light we get from the sun. It's the only wavelength area in the sun's spectrum that penetrates the most deeply into the body. It's the only wavelength that penetrates bone tissue. So these wavelengths, part of why most of the wattage is that we absorb from the sun is near infrared, is because it penetrates so deeply. So it's accessing the deepest cells of our body, and it activates what are called the mitochondria in the cells. And we have this in every cell of the body. It has a light receptor enzyme on it that absorbs only this wavelength of light, near infrared and also visible red light that we see. But between those two, near infrared goes a lot deeper. And so as we're getting a little bit of damage from the double-edged sword of blue light and ultraviolet light, all of that stuff is being healed in the cell in so many different ways with this much bigger dose of near infrared. And so that's the experience with the sun. But if we go indoors, what do we find nowadays? LED light. That's all blue light. So we've separated all the infrared out because that was supposedly energy inefficient. And that's been really deleterious to our health because we never had any experience in nature with blue only light. It was always a little blue, a lot of near infrared. And indoors, when we get the blue only light, it causes a lot of stress on the body, and there's none of that healing stimulus that's counteracting things. So blue light has many associations now. Prolonged blue light exposure to so many health problems. It's disrupting for your sleep. For men, it reduces your testosterone. It's linked to weight gain. It's linked to psychological and mood stress. I mean, anybody knows this. You work for several hours in front of the computer and have like the light on full, and it's very stressful to the body. And yet, like, what do we do? You know, we're in this, I don't want to call it a matrix, but we're in this synthetic environment now, and we want to thrive. I don't want to I would love to go vacation and Tulum or something like that, but there's my purpose and my work and my family and everything is here, you know, in this synthetic world. So how do we adapt? And the first thing is to like realize in wellness, we're mimicking the natural context with everything. And people understand, I think, from food, like eat healthy, fresh food, try to eat organic. But what we're talking about today is light. And light, because we're beings of light, literally, at all these different levels, we have light absorber systems in all the cells of our body. We should start to pay attention particularly to what light am I being exposed to and what light am I missing?
That's so interesting. Like how you said we're in a synthetic environment, and that word synthetic speaks so fully to, you know, what we're immersed in terms of light, in terms of often the materials of the clothes we wear, you know, all that kind of stuff, and foods, processed foods. And as you were saying, you know, we can pretty much, I think logically, and most people are open to this, be like, okay, if I eat a lot of processed foods, I'm going to look like a processed food. You know, like it's going to start to affect my metabolism, affect my insulin. It's going to affect my sleep, you know, all that kind of stuff, sugar, et cetera. We don't think about LEDs, like, till I really started to listen more and read more about light and, you know, having spent a lot of time on my phone for work. I remember having this feeling like it was such, I never would have verbalized it previously because I was like, oh, that's dumb. And it was this feeling like something was being pulled out of my third eye area. Like it was like this feeling that I was being sucked into the phone. That's what the feeling was like. Mm-hmm. And I remember having this feeling like in 2014. And when I started to read more about light, and of course about algorithms and how they hijack dopamine centers, all that kind of stuff, dopamine pathways, it all started, I was like, oh, that feeling I had in 2014 was actually an accurate experience, that this was impacting my body, impacting my brain. And I was reading about digital dementia, that the brain starts to actually create structure like dementia due to the use of technology, and you start to have the same symptoms. And I thought, man, we're all on the edge, if not already deeply immersed in the suffering from this, the anxiety, the depression. But then when you learn about LEDs, for example, I remember when LED lights came out, all of a sudden I was like, oh, great, these are more efficient. You don't have to replace them as much. Again, the selling of convenience being, you know, and monetary savings, not realizing the cost, much like food. Oh, this is cheaper. This is. And you don't realize, but do you think light has an equal impact as food, or even more significant?
Yeah, I think more. So, for example, if you get a lot of sunlight each day, like think about this, in the summer, in the winter, we usually eat more denser foods, more caloric rich foods, and, you know, like big, huge chilies and things like that. It's like really satisfying. But in the summer, when you get lots of sunlight, we usually eat a little lighter. You know, more fruit, more just light, not as much as these heavy, dense foods. And you're less hungry. And the reason for that is that the sun's light, the near infrared light going into your mitochondria, one of the effects of it is it gives you energy directly. It's literally a conversion of photons from the light into electrons in the cell. And you're getting energy without any sugar. So without eating anything, you can, if you get many hours of sunlight a day and in the right like times and stuff, that's natural, starting with the morning light, you can satisfy up to like 2/3 of your caloric needs. And there's actually light eater cults.
Yeah, I've heard about this. People who like live off the sun, right?
Live off the sun. Then you just kind of sip water and just get tons of sun every day. And they're not, you know, they're not dying. They're, you know, eventually, I guess you need to eat something, but you can survive a long time with sun. And if you just think about it each day, yeah, you get so much from the sun. So energy is one thing you get from the sun, literally energy to run your body. But you get all these other things too, as far as like impact on your health. If I had to choose between the two, if it was between food and sunlight, I would choose sunlight, because there's so much more than just minerals and nutrients and vitamins and stuff. It has a healing effect in the body. So we see this now with the proliferation of mostly LED-based red light therapy devices, although there are some like us that are, you know, doing incandescent. I don't know if you can see this here, but so the sun's light heals us. In science, there's this fancy word, photobiomodulation. It's really simply put, it's light therapy is the use of red and near infrared light to heal damaged cells and optimize function of healthy cells. So it heals things that are broken, fixes things that are broken, and it improves the function of the good stuff that's already there. It does that in every cell of the body. So we're talking about regeneration, inflammation reduction, anti-aging effects, where it actually repairs your DNA, like how your cell builds itself. And then there's a lot of higher, those are kind of like cellular effects. It also activates your immune system and releases nitric oxide out of the cell, so you get more blood flow and more oxygen delivery to your cells. Very important, you know, for all things. But then there's like these higher order effects in the organs and the body that are really fascinating. We see this in now like over 8,000 studies. When we use near infrared light, we shine it and we test different things. We see like improved cognitive function, recovery from stroke and TBI, improved neurological function, improved mood. It helps release from the brain serotonin and dopamine from the nerve cells. So you, that happy feeling, you know, you get in front of the sun. And you get that from the bonfire too. And you get that from near infrared light, even from a man-made source, particularly what we do, because it's we'll talk about how we're more mimicking the incandescent with incandescence, the sunlight. It's even more than that. It's a spiritual thing. We are connected with nature. We are beings of frequency and beings of light. And this light helps activate our this beautiful engineering we have inside. And also our awareness of ourselves, that we can take care of everything. You know, we just need these certain things that are simple in nature, and we have everything we need. We don't really need drugs. We don't need a lot of complicated supplements necessarily. We need to understand how our human engineering works on the inside. And the light has these spiritual, like mental effects too. It helps ground you. It helps center you. And in reminding you of this, that you are a being of light, there's like this self-love component too to it. And this practice of like what we encourage is to not do. We encourage people to not do anything. That's in the biohacker world, it's very masculine. Like you got to do this, you got to take these sups. You see on Instagram these people have like this morning routine from 5 to 7 a.m. Yeah. It's like 3,000 things.
It's like, do they have kids?
And it's all doable, but yeah. I think it's one of the most soul sucking things to have all of these routines that are empty and not have any rituals. The difference between the two is a ritual is sacred, and we're sacred beings and we want things to be sacred. Even drinking a cup of coffee, you know, you make the coffee real quick, you throw it in your to go, you slam it on the way to work, you get it done, right? You get that caffeine. Or maybe it takes you a little more time, but you go slow and you touch the beans and you pour it into your favorite cup at home and you smell it. And that is the way that we like to experience life. I would say that's our default mode is to be. And so like with our product experience, we try to emphasize that. Well, don't do anything, just be, because we're beings. And again, that's not just a metaphor. We're literally beings. We're not doings. I think I heard somebody say that recently. So we're beings, not doings. And when we're in our being, it doesn't mean we're not accomplishing things, but we're in our natural state where we have more awareness. We have more alpha and gamma waves, you know, in the brain, less like doing beta mode. You know, that's like the vehicle through which we find ourselves and become more aware of like, who am I? What do I really love? What's deep inside my heart? And where is the path toward me being my highest and best self? And all of this comes with light, because we're beings of light, and it's very activating. We have many customer stories where people like don't just have physical transformations. It's a lot of people say mind, body, spirit. I think it's actually body, mind, spirit. Of course, these are all the same thing. They're not technically separate, but when the body is really toxic and we have emotional challenges and self-love challenges, it's hard to think clearly. And like spiritual alignment is not as accessible. It's more limited. We need to cleanse our bodies of all things, physical toxins and also mental and spiritual blocks, limitations, incoherence in the body. And when we do that, when we clear up the body, the nervous system gets activated and we get more clarity of mind and we see, oh, you know, I don't think I really like those croissants. I don't think they make me feel good afterwards. And like you start to change little things, right? And then you eventually, you get to a place where you're like, wow, I really am clear. I really know who I am. I've removed a lot of these influences, people, things from my life, my lifestyle that are not in alignment with me, that are not high frequency or whatever. And that's where you get into sort of more spiritual, it's more spiritual experience, where in connecting with the divine part of yourself, you can more easily see what is your purpose. you know, and what are your creative gifts? That's what we're here on earth, is to share these, and everybody's different. You know, you got different ones than me, but we've all our lives, we've had this programming of do as others do, and don't make decisions for yourself, and look externally, essentially look externally for validation.
Yeah. When you talk about returning to ritual and sacredness, I think about when I got the prescription to go outside and see the sun as it wakes, you know, to go take that time, put my feet on the earth, and to do, let's say, breath work, or just slowly, or be with my cup of coffee while I'm doing that.
Yeah.
It's amazing, because what you're saying is, which I love, is that even just in, if that's the prescription you get, right? Like, just start to align your circadian rhythm, go see the first light, you know, look at the sun as it goes over the horizon. Just that practice is very, it's wild to think is like a, almost like a caveman-esque type of practice, but it shouldn't be, you know, that it wasn't that long ago. Like, biologically, evolutionarily, we're not wired for iPhones. We're wired for the sun, you know? So whatever adaptability might happen, I don't know what that is. Maybe we'll become dumber and, you know, subcontract all our thinking to ChatGPT. Well, I think a subset of humans will. And the other people will return to the earth. Well, because there is a longing. It's undeniable that there's a longing. And once you start to then create that sacred process, which you might not think of as sacred, but then you experience it as sacred, because how can you not? You're taking this deliberate time. Like you said, even the intention of making your coffee is so different, that you're with the moment instead of rushing to the next moment, which means you're constantly in sympathetic activation anyways. Yeah. So then you start to feel different. And I really think that word synthetic, when I think about relationships, until you wake up to why you do what you do in relationship, a lot of it is actually synthetic, because it's the mask you're wearing. It's the defensive behaviors. They're the things you learn that are not relational. You know, they're protective, they're defensive, which, is that any different than the body's response to a lack of symbiotic relationship with circadian rhythms, with the sun, with light? You know, there's something sacred about your bed. It's a place where you return after a hard day, where you reflect, where you heal, where you make love, where you cry, where you dream, where you sleep, or where you just breathe. And the truth is, we often overlook how important it is to feel held by the space that we sleep in. That's why I have been continuously obsessed with Cozy Earth. These sheets, I mean, they're not just soft, they're buttery, they're cooling, and sustainably made from bamboo viscose. It's like sliding into a cloud that whispers, hey, you're safe here. And that matters. Because nervous systems that feel safe, they open, they receive, they rest. We can manage emotional experiences in our lives. So sleep isn't just sleep, it's repair. And Cozy Earth gives you the kind of sleep your soul has been craving. Now here's the best part. Cozy Earth is offering my listeners up to 40% off. That's right, 40% off. Because deep rest shouldn't be a luxury. It should be a lifestyle. So if you're ready to transform your relationship with rest, go to cozyearth.com and use the code MARK at checkout. You will feel the difference that these sheets make. That is for certain. And remember, you are allowed to feel that good. So I'm curious, in your own journey, were you always like a light guy? Were you always like, oh man, light is the most fascinating thing in the world? No, I just wonder, like, what birthed it?
No, it started out with my own healing journey when I got done with university. And I moved to Missouri. I grew up in Montana. Grew up in Montana, Jewish cowboy from Montana.
So common.
Yeah. Well, it's gotten a lot more gentrified, actually. But when I grew up in a small town called Great Falls, Montana. That's where Lewis and Clark went through.
Yeah. My dad went to university in Havre.
Oh, wow. Then you actually know up there. Yeah, the Havers. That's an even littler town.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I grew up in Calgary, we went to Whitefish a lot. Mm-hmm. So we used to go down on trips to Great Falls and all that area. I mean, Montana is gorgeous. So then you moved to Missouri.
Yeah, so I grew up there. I was raised by two physicians. My mother's a natural-minded general practitioner, MD, always been that way. She was prescribing supplements and vitamins in the 80s in Montana.
She's
and
a pioneer.
Not making much money. You know, yeah. She's on the vanguard. And my dad is a now retired radiologist.
Oh, cool.
So when I was little looking up, I was like, dang, Dad, you make a lot of money. And like, Mom, you really work really hard. And you don't make that much money. And so I had this illusion, you know, who was more successful. But then as I got older, I realized, wow, my dad is specialized in mammography. And he's basically every day diagnosing people with this or that. And there's this, you know, there was very much an example of the revolving door of allopathic medical care where people, you know, some people got better, but not an impressive success rate, and a lot of heartache and a lot of stress on my father. It really was brutal, actually, and a lot of long hours. And my mom's over here, you know, acupuncture and supplements and doing all. And now, and so I realized, wow, she was, they're both amazing. I love both of them. They're both my heroes. But my mom was like this courageous person doing this stuff way before the internet. And, you know, can you imagine doing this like before the internet, like
in Montana.
And, you know, when they moved finally, you know, there were people were crying, like, cause there was no one else doing what she was doing. And so they finally moved to Missouri. I studied at Montana State. Then I went and studied abroad for almost 7 years. So I had this whole other story, and including like 3.5 years in Israel, which was amazing. I got back, finished my degrees in chemistry and Spanish literature, got those. And then I was like, well, now what? I was thought I would be a doctor like my parents. And I actually went to a medical school interview, and I, in the middle of it, I just kind of walked out. I was like, whoa, I am not going into this matrix. It's its own, you know, thing. And I was in rental real estate. So I wanted to see, it was after the crash of 08. Shortly after that, I moved, it was like 09, 010, moved to Missouri to be close to my parents. And I started a rental real estate company, fixing things up. And I had some health issues that kind of came up, like insomnia, acne on my back. And I felt lethargic. I kind of felt irascible and moody. Didn't feel like myself. But then if you met me on the street, you'd be like, dude, what's your problem? You look fine. It was these kind of more subtle things, but especially like the sleeping and there are some very visible red flags of something's wrong. And I didn't want to take drugs, you know, and stuff like that. I have this upbringing, some upbringing of all, you know, eat natural food and all that. And so I called my mom and she's like, you know, Brian, you're probably just toxic. You probably just need a detox. And you need to get a sauna. You know, she's got her New York accent, a sauna. And I was like, that's a great idea, Mom. You're so smart. And so I researched the benefits of sauna. They're tremendous. It reduces your risk of all-cause mortality. That means basically your risk of all diseases. And it reduces your risk of dementia. And these are long-term, large population studies performed in Finland that are running like 30 years now. So I was like, cool. This makes sense. And then at the end of that research, I found what I make, basically, the electric light bath. There's this guy, Dr. Kellogg. You know, his brother invented Kellogg's cornflakes. So
yeah
many people know that story.
Cornflakes. Yeah, that story is wild.
Isn't it wild? Like they thought that male libido and masturbation were societal problems and they wanted to solve it. So they came up with bran flakes, and they definitely, they went too far with it. They solved it, but like way too much. And now there's like, you know, low testosterone
exactly.
And ED and all this stuff.
The long game.
Yeah. So his brother though had this spa in Battle Creek, Michigan. He was a really avant-garde doctor. He was a natural doctor. He wasn't a medical doctor. He was looking at natural ways to heal things. And so right after incandescent bulbs were invented, he saw these bulbs and he was like, whoa, I'm going to make a sauna out of this. And he called it the incandescent electric light bath. And he tested it on 50,000 patients, all of them chronically ill, something or other. Wow. and logged all these hundreds of thousands of sessions, wrote this book called Light Therapeutics. You can read this online. You can buy it in a bookstore. And in it, he documents his incredible success healing like every chronic disease he can think of. And not just chronic disease too, but like people with insomnia issues, you know, people with eczema, with just everything, cancer, people with autoimmune issues, people with psychiatric problems, even healing people with trauma wounds like snake bites, which is interesting and relevant today because there's a lot of use of snake venoms in pharmaceutical medication. And so he knew all this a long time ago, right? And he wrote this book. I was like, whoa, this is awesome. And I can build my own. I've always been kind of a tinker person. So I build my own, use it right before bed, and I slept like a baby. And then the next night, same thing, use it before bed, no more insomnia. And I was like, whoa, there's something here. And so then I use it for 6 months and all my health issues were resolved. Skin looked great. And my mood was like way better. And my energy levels, just waking up, like waking out of bed, like rolling out and like, wow, let's go and do something today. And I also noticed that I was more clear in my brain, my thinking. So that's when I realized, oh yeah, I had brain fog. I didn't even know it. You know, I was just dealing with it, just living with it. So all of that was really amazing. And then, but then I was like in the rental real estate, I was fixing up these houses. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And I, what happened is I made some for some friends and family. And then I got, I was originally on my mom's website and you had to like email her and I'd email you a PayPal link and I would make this for you. And basically early on, about 3 or 4 months into doing this, 5 months or something into like being on the website and stuff, I got a call from an early customer saying, and she related this incredible story. She was crying and she said, I wanted to tell you, you know, I got my life back by using your product. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia and I lost my job and I couldn't go out of the home and I was in so much pain and my relationship with my husband and children was like super stressed out. And in a few months of using this very Bricolage electric light bath that I had made, she like got her job back. Like most of her symptoms had resolved and like everything had transformed for her. She transformed herself, but using this product I had made. And it was very moving for me. I was like, it was making me tear up too. And I had like the tools in my hands because I was making these in my back of my house, in my rental house, this whole thing on the side. And I kind of looked down at the tools and I was like, what am I doing? And I dropped the tools and I never picked them up again and left that business, like dove into it full time. I made my own logo. I made my own website. I incorporated Sauna Space. And that was in 2013. And, you know, it's been like 12 years since then and 3 business loans, almost went bankrupt a couple of times, and got a few white hairs from all that. Yeah, I knew that there was, this is way different. Like not only, I didn't have the emotional constitution to be a landlord. I'm just like a nice person. I was never good at that. And it didn't align with me. It didn't feel like satisfied in it. And with this, I'm creating these devices that are beautiful. They're handmade. They're really elegant and exquisite. And they're helping activate people's, you know, it's empowering people to be well. That's our mission. And it's so satisfying. And now there's just been thousands of calls like that. And I didn't know anything about light back then, by the way. I just kind of fell into this and I realized now it was kind of channeling something. There's this need. There's still this need. And there's, you know, nothing particularly bad or wrong with the LED products or the regular sauna products. But what we're doing is much more than just a physical experience. It's a physical, mental, and spiritual like experience. It's what we're doing is very much needed. And the sauna market's crowded and the light therapy device market's pretty crowded. And yet we've just continued to grow and grow and, you know, now we're in our next phase. And at the beginning of all this, I didn't know anything about the research, just a little bit of the sauna stuff. But over time, I've dove into the research because it's fascinated me, the light therapy, the heat therapy, the EMFs. And I've been doing it the whole time to incorporate it into the product and change it and enhance it. And I started doing some podcasts and like speaking engagements and stuff. And now I'm I'm kind of a, yeah, I'm not, not kind of, I am a subject matter expert in sort of these three fields through just an autodidactic approach. And so now I understand, wow, light is so important. And that's how it plays into EMFs, because EMFs is electromagnetism. These are frequencies, which is what light is. Light is part of the electromagnetic spectrum. So all of this is interrelational, and light becomes more and more important. And then, of course, as you know, in the last 12 years, well, they've tried to get rid of most incandescents for regular home use, and they've been replaced with LEDs. Fluorescence had been around for a while. They're still here. But now we're in a very different light environment, especially with the digital age, the computers. Remember the old TVs? You know, that you watch in old movies that, like, they're little and they're like far away, and they're tube TVs. So now we have these big, bright LEDs, and they're huge, huge screens. We work all day long in front of the computers. So there's been so much transformation in our way of life just in the last 10 or 20 years. And our product becomes more and more relevant. The need to detoxify and cleanse the body, and the need to raise your awareness of your light diet and what your experience is with light. So yeah, I know a lot about it now. It's, and there's a lot of nuances in the literature, but essentially it's what we talked about. We need light every day. We need the right kind of light, healthy light, which is mostly near infrared, which is what we get from the sun. And we can create it with incandescent bulbs. We can create it with LEDs as well. But when we look at the sun and we look at nature and, like, what is actually this light that we get from the sun? It's this proportion of wavelengths. It's all of these wavelengths in this power distribution that's very particular. When we feel that, that's what we're biologically aligned to get. So when we feel that and we see that, we're like, oh yeah, yeah, this feels good. And when we use LEDs, even like red LEDs that are therapeutic devices, it's just more of a clinical feel. You know, it's more of a synthetic light. It's fractionated digital light. It's one wavelength, really high power level. It's kind of like vitamin C powder. The incandescent light is the orange. There's definitely uses for both, but if we eat oranges every day, you know, we don't get sick.
So I'm curious with, because you mentioned EMF. So, like, how does EMF play into all of this? And is having a Tesla bad?
Well, if you talk to Brian Hoyer of Shielded Healing, he's a EMF mitigation expert, really great guy. There is a way to, like, put some, like, magnetic field blocking stuff and some grounding sheets in a Tesla and ground it out to the chassis and kind of help out. But in those, like, and not just Teslas, all the cars now have Wi-Fi in them all the time. And so what's the problem with all this? So there's a billion times more man-made EMF, electric fields and magnetic fields, than there was 100 years ago. It's just kind of like LED light and also the cell phones. It's all of a sudden, after all this time that we lived without this, all of a sudden we have all this. And our biology doesn't have the programming for it. It doesn't understand it. It's an invisible stress on our nervous system. It's like an electrosmog. And our body doesn't understand it. It's like, where's the lion? Where's the bear? What am I running from? And so it's almost causes like cognitive dissonance, because we have this stress that's stressing our cells out, stressing our nervous system out all the time. And yet we can't consciously like point to it. So we just get used to it. But the fact is, it very much influences us. Just like light influences us, so do electric fields. Inside of our body, just as we have all these light-based systems, most of the systems at the fundamental, like smallest level in the cells, are driven by voltage and electricity, like little cellular gates and how proteins talk to each other. You know, they're all connecting at this like quantum level that is all about electric fields and electricity. And we, just as we have auric fields, we have meridian fields in the body. In Eastern philosophy, there's, you know, more awareness about this, but you can kind of, in the West, you can think of it as electric and magnetic fields that are in the body that are very complex. There's a gigantic toroidal field that our whole body creates. And so with cell phones, the standard for safety was like, if the electric field is strong enough to heat up the water in the body, then it's damaging. But we have things called voltage gated calcium ion channels. It's called calcium signaling. So it's like really basic messaging system in all the cells of the body. And those little gates that let the calcium in the cell are 7 million times more sensitive to electric fields than water is. They're very, very sensitive. So just a little bit of cell phone signal hitting the cell basically causes those to open. Calcium goes into the cell. We get a lot of stress in our cell. That's how the cell makes more energy. But also if you do that really fast, it kills the cell. So what we see in the literature, if we say, okay, we're definitely able to be influenced by electric fields, magnetic fields, cell phone, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and the electricity in our home, the wired sort of low frequency electric fields. And so what happens? And there's a lot of research now and what's happening. The largest concentration of voltage-gated calcium ion channels in the body are in the heart and the nervous system. So what do you see in the literature? You see the biggest associations between like cell phone signal exposure and problems with the heart and problems with the brain. The biggest associations with the use of a cell phone in terms of disease are brain cancer and throat cancer. And we know that, you know, people are holding their phones like this, and you see women put it in their sports bra and men carry it next to their growing, and it lowers, you know, it lowers sperm count. It's basically damaging everything all the time. And it has psychological effects on us. It messes up with our mood. It influences microorganisms like bacteria and viruses to proliferate more. So the parasites in our body, they grow faster and they have more toxic responses. And so on and so forth. So, and there's been no check at all on any of this.
Right.
Nobody has talked about this. All about just with the going to LEDs. It's all about convenience. Only now, if you sleep with your cell phone next to your head and your smart meter in your home is really right next to your bedroom, and you have like 20 Wi-Fi signals from your neighbors coming into your house, you don't sleep that well. You see the sleep, you can measure your sleep patterns, you know, with like an Oura Ring or something. You see it's really flat. You don't get into the deep sleep, and the sleep is such an important recovery time. So all this stuff is affecting us, and it's kind of like the new silent spring that, and I don't want to be negative about it. It's just something to be aware of, you know, that's out there. There's a lot of things that we can do to minimize its effect on us. And there's very interesting things we can do, like with sauna, to actually reverse the damage that EMFs cause in the body. But there's no question that it's here to stay. And with the implementation of like 5G and just more ubiquitous, it's more wattage, more electric fields. And, you know, the next generation stuff is going to be like wireless charging, you know, where you don't have to plug your iPhone in anymore. It just charges, you know, from a signal as you walk.
That's
which
crazy.
Again, sounds convenient, but all of this stuff is very damaging to us. So I figured this out in the middle of my sauna space experience. In the beginning, we didn't do any EMF shielding in our products.
Yeah.
I thought it was good enough the way it was because it was lower EMF than some of the other sauna technologies out there. And I was like way wrong. If you don't shield the bulb, the electric field goes like, it's like 4 feet out of the bulb. So it goes into the body. And all the wiring in our home, if it's not clad in metal, which they don't do that in residential homes, the electric fields leak out into the body and they electrify us and they raise our voltage and they stress us out. And that's why when you go and do grounding, you get a lot of benefit. It's not just, you know, like a feeling or like the earth feels great. It's actually infusing electrons into your body that lowers your body's voltage into a lower, more natural state. And it's like neutralizing all of this positive charge that builds up. Bacteria and viruses and a lot of bad things come with positive charge, basically. So if you, it's like 50 microamps of electricity that you get. If you have that on your body, that's considered carcinogenic. And I measure this many times with meters. Like you can take one of those little plug-in phone chargers and just plug that in, and you can just stand next to it and measure the voltage and amperage on your body with a body voltage meter, and it can be over 200 microamps. So you're like way up there. Now, if you unplug it, it goes away from there, but all of the wiring inside the walls is still there and still leaks out. So electric fields travel through anything that has moisture, just a little bit of moisture in the air. They go through the air, not just like through the floor. So like the lights that are above you, electric fields can come down, and the electric fields want to go to ground. So you're a great way for them to get to a lower electrical potential, basically. So we can use, but there's some cool things out there we can do. Like we can use grounding sheets in our bed. Very easy application. You put that under your regular sheet and that acts like this moat and it like traps the electric fields, keeps them off your body. You will sleep better. Better than that would be a Faraday canopy. Or you can use shielding paint on your walls and like create a grounded Faraday system in your bedroom. So at least you're protecting where you sleep. With your phone, stop talking like this on it. Just hold it in your hand. If you just keep it like an inch away from your body, it's even that is like way better than having it touch you. Put it into airplane mode at night. Take your Wi-Fi router and put it on a timer, on a schedule. Many Wi-Fi routers have this capability. It just automatically turns off at 10 o'clock at night, you know, and stays off. So those are like simple, practical things you can do. There's other like cool stuff you can do. But for us, our product... So I realized all this, and Brian Hoyer was actually, I collaborated with him for quite some time, still do. And I learned a lot about the problem of it and also what to do about it. So that's when we started electromagnetically shielding our products. So we did that in various sort of like steps. First, it was the light panels themselves, our hearth and our glow light, you know, then in the sauna and that are more portable. There's no electric or magnetic field influence on the user at all from our products. It's really awesome. But then we're like, well, what about the sauna itself? Like, what about all the Wi-Fi in the home? What can we protect them from that? So we developed our grounding mat and then our silver lining system, which it was many generations. This is like many years and it's changed quite a bit. It's really cool now. It's like organic and it has a lot of silver in it. So it's silver based, which is a biological metal, and it's has a lot of beautiful properties, silver as well. And so we, in the end, ended up with a sauna experience that protects you from all the ambient EMF. And so you go into a sauna space sauna, into the firelight sauna with the silver lining, and it's very quiet to the senses. You're like, you're in this space that nowadays in our synthetic world doesn't really exist anywhere. Even if you go out camping, if you can answer your phone, then that phone signal your phone's getting is the same as the signal that's being absorbed by your body.
Yeah.
So you go into the sauna space sauna and it's like quiet in there and there's no track lighting, you know, there's no Bluetooth. There's just this Zen den kind of protective cocoon bubble. And then there's the light.
Like a phone doesn't even work in that sauna, right?
No. Yeah. It won't work well. It'll try to like power up to maximum to like try to reconnect. So you can take a phone in if it's on full airplane mode. So Bluetooth and Wi-Fi have to be off, not just like white. They have to be like crossed out on the phone. And you can listen to some meditation. I listen to healing frequencies. Sometimes I do prayers in there. So you can listen to stuff, but you don't want to bring any transmitters in because you're like bringing EMS into the sacred space.
Right. And they'd bounce off everything. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like when you get in there, it's this transformative experience where you're fully in your natural context and you're bathed in this healing full spectrum light, full spectrum infrared. That's just like the sun, but without ultraviolet and blue light. So I'm not saying that the sun, we're trying to replace the sun. We're not. We're sort of adapting to the modern context and realizing most people don't have that daily sunlight experience at all. And many people have severe issues with toxicity nowadays. I would say everybody. It's very challenging living in this Western world. And so let's give the healing complement only, and let's give light and heat in a very efficient package. And the light itself has radiant heating effect using near infrared light. So with our sauna, you don't preheat it. You go in and it's like between 15 and 30 minutes, you're done. You get this wonderful like meditative experience. You get out, you feel rejuvenated, you feel relaxed, and you sweat a lot, and you do all this healing. And it's like a 20 to 30 minute investment. You can do that three times a week and it's in your home. And it's a very, very transformative as you continue to do it. And so all of the design of our product is meant to like recreate this natural experience. The materials are also natural. It's all solid wood and like any of the metal parts are stainless steel. And the bamboo mat, the grounding mat is a bamboo mat, you know, and like everything is just trying to recreate again, this like really natural environment where you're naturally inclined to just be. You go in there and like, whoa, just, I can just be in here. And you also get some time to yourself, which is also something that's been stolen from us.
The summer nights are heating up. And if you've been waking up drenched or tossing around trying to find the new cool spot on your bed, I totally get it. I've been there. And let's be honest, if your mattress is trapping heat, it might be time for a change. That's why I want to tell you about a product I really believe in. Avocado Green Mattress. These mattresses are next level. Luxuriously comfortable, naturally breathable, and made with certified organic materials. And if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know I'm all about high quality organic products that support not just our health, but also the planet. Avocado uses certified organic latex, wool, and cotton. So you're not sleeping on chemicals. You're sleeping on materials that are better for your body and designed to breathe, which means cooler sleep, especially when it's hot outside. Whether you love a firmer feel or want something plush, Avocado's got options for everybody and every sleep style. They even have a mattress quiz to help you find your perfect match, which I love because sleep is deeply personal and one size does not fit all. Now, here's the thing I respect most about Avocado. They walk their talk. They're a certified B Corp, which means they meet the highest standards in sustainability, ethics, and transparency. Every decision from farm to finished product is rooted in care for you and for the planet. This isn't just about selling mattresses. It's about supporting a healthier life, a healthier earth. And that's a mission I can definitely get behind. And the logistics, easy. You can get financing with Affirm, a sleep trial for up to a full year, and retail locations if you want to try one in person. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com and save up to 20% on certified organic mattresses during their Labor Day sale. Avocado, dream of better.
Yeah, I'm curious when you go into that sensation of not having any radio waves, like nothing around you, must be so, like the nervous system must just kind of go, oh man, like we haven't had this in a long time, that you're really going back to, you know, the prehistoric state where there's no radio, where there's nothing. And so you're actually, it's like what sitting beside a tree and being in the sun was originally like on some level.
Yeah, it can be quite unusual.
Yeah,
because you're not used to it, you know, when you first feel it. But yeah, it's, and it doesn't mean your mind gets quiet immediately. Like if you're in a stressful state, you know, you have all these distracting thoughts, the future and the past, but like it has a very grounding, it brings you into the present. So you can step out of your mind, out of the inner screen, and you don't have the outer screen, you know, you don't have reality around you because you're in this cocoon, and you can step into that higher state, that observer state where, yeah, you have all of these thoughts, but you're present and you can see those thoughts and you can start to kind of wind them down and go through them. And it's all about, you know, being present. That's where we're designed to be present. The time that we exist in is only now. And that doesn't mean we can't plan for the future, but planning for the future or learning from the past and having wisdom and letting go of attachments to the past is an exercise and experience that we do now, here. So the more we can be present and here now, the more we become unlimited. We can do everything we want. Every moment we have can be sacred, whether it's me talking to you now or, you know, literally the next thing I'm doing. But that presence of mind is, and we all have this ability inside of us, it's just kind of sleeping. So we need to awaken it. And there are so many effective ways to awaken it. Just with this, it's what I do. It's something that naturally happens and you don't do anything. You just sit there. You don't have to go do something or do a protocol, or it's almost easy. You just sit on your lazy butt and all of a sudden, like there's so many things happening in your body and in your being, you know, on all levels.
How hot will the sauna get?
So our saunas, the air temp is like between 100 and 130. So it's actually a more gentle air temp. And like I said before, the light, the near infrared light itself heats the body radiantly. It penetrates many inches in and heats you from within. So with our sauna technology, you don't need to use the air to heat the body very much. So unlike other saunas, that air is more, it's more gentle. It's more cozy. It's definitely warm, but some, like a traditional fitness sauna is more like 180 degrees or more. And that's because they have to you have to preheat it a long time. And then you have to stay in there a lot longer for that air to slowly heat you from the outside in. And that's a wonderful experience. I also enjoy that. But for a lot of people, that's too stressful. Like people with chronic illness, they need something super gentle and yet effective. And I would say for most of us, we're best served with something that we can do quickly, at least to start out. To people make these extremely intelligent cost benefit analyses when they're buying consumer products, but when we like cars and phone cases, but when we look at our self-love practice, which I like that word more than self-care, so we're taking care of ourselves, we go cheap. We're so cheap. You know, we don't give no time. The budget's severely constrained. And so I think this is an acceptable, you know, accessible way to like get into it and to help people remember, like, this is the most important thing. When you have your health and you have your wholeness of being and your sound of mind and body, everything you do benefits, and everything, you're more productive, you know, in your relationships, you're more open, more forgiving, like it just has this domino effect on your whole life. And when you don't have that, you're limited, everything suffers.
I'm curious, for people listening or watching, what are some simple practices of how they would implement red light into their life? You know, how would they use the sauna space light? I have a sauna space light, and I have, before I ever even knew about it, I had an LED panel, and I can speak to my experience that it definitely feels way different, especially when I look in the bulb, like it just feels different. There is, like, as you use the line of like, one feels more clinical. That is such a good term for it, because I can still feel the benefit, but it feels like, I never thought of that term, but it feels a little more like I'm in a doctor's office rather than I'm in a farm or in the forest. So yeah, what would be the practices? Like if someone bought a red light, obviously these products are now everywhere. So it's like, if they bought a red light, how would they use it? And what are just some of the maybe more specific differences of why they might see a benefit with a sauna space light?
Yeah. So with our products, our core product is our sauna. And that is you're just a holistic rejuvenation machine. You're purifying and rejuvenating the body with the heat of the sauna, and you're regenerating and also healing in different ways, and also a little detox with the light together. And you get this stacked therapy with the grounding and all this stuff. So that's sort of the core experience. Ideally, you do that 3 days a week. I use it every day, and we have different options and stuff, but that's pretty straightforward. Like you use the sauna and you rinse off in the shower afterwards. Maybe you dry brush before, maybe you exfoliate after. And so that's pretty straightforward. With our other products, we have some interesting use cases. Like the product you have is the Glow. And that's what I kind of popped into view here real quick. So I have it at my desk. The original use of this phototherapy, as it was originally called, is for healing the body. So wherever you got symptoms, you shine it on the naked flesh in that part of the body, and it feels better. You can get pain reduction, and if you have gut inflammation or edema, or you just want a mood lift. So that's like classical use. But what we realized, and the reason I have it at my desk, is that our firelight technology and using the glow light next to your LED screen, your computer screen, cancels out the measurable blue light and cancels out the flickering effect of the LED light on the body. And you can measure this with meters. So when I have it here, I'm not using it directly on my face all day long. It's just kind of like in the space. You can either use it like we have this desk arm accessory, or you can just put it on your desk and point it up. And it's transforming and optimizing the light. Even if you have overhead LEDs, it's transforming this experience so you don't get that technology fatigue, the screen fatigue. That all of that screen fatigue is, well, one, it's the EMF, and two, it's the blue light that's pulsing. You know, it's turning off 120 times a second. It's like a strobe light of this toxic blue light all day long. So the blue light cancellation effect and the flickering cancellation, it makes computer work really, I can't work without this, honestly. So that's a huge thing, is like the technology fatigue. And that also applies at home. You're in the kitchen cooking, you got LEDs above you, just bring the glow light in there. Also, anywhere you are indoors, basically, and particularly after dark, but also in the day, anytime you have a lot of blue light source, You can bring this light in, just have it close to you, not even pointed on you, and you can have it on basically all day as long as you're in the room with it. And it's transforming the light environment. It's making the indoor light environment like it is outdoors. So it's a huge benefit. It's one of the most popular uses of our product that is unique to our product. You can't do that with a red LED because it also flickers. It's also our Firelight full spectrum is basically filling in those gaps of the flickering. And there's something about the near infrared light that counteracts and sort of overwhelms the blue light that you can measure. So blue light mitigation is an amazing use. You can also use this to mimic the sunrise. So if you're in Montana right now, well, actually Montana has a lot of sun, but like you're in Michigan, let's say you're in Chicago, yeah. It's cloudy, you're in Seattle. You're supposed to see the sunrise in the morning. There's this programming that happens to your body, your hormones and your cells that calibrates you for the day. If you don't get the near infrared light right when you wake up and instead you go into your bathroom, flick on the LED light or you grab your phone, you get the exact opposite. You get a miscalibration. It puts you into this weird stress state, takes you right into beta mode in terms of brain waves, and like it limits you throughout the day, like in terms of your hormones and this other stuff. So we've seen this in research and studies. That's why our ancestors gazed at the sunrise. It wasn't just fun. It was like it's a healing practice. It's also a calibrating practice. It's something that is very essential for us to do. If you don't have access to the sun, you can use the glow light or our sauna or our hearth product. And just for like 2 minutes, make sure that that's the first light you get. So whenever I travel with the glow, and I always make sure to just have it on just even a couple of minutes before I, you know, turn on any other light. And so we can mimic the sunrise. This also in Indian culture, this is called Agnihotra. It's where you like have blessed ghee and you cast it into a sacred fire. And then the sun's rays at sunset or sunrise hit the burning ghee and cast off this healing frequency onto you.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's like a lot of different cultures have different rituals that are recognition of this need to get near infrared light, especially in the morning. And we know also, like in terms of so many things, like if you get near infrared light in the morning, it prevents worsening of the eyesight and it improves the eye function. There's like some really interesting new research into that. So instead, we get the blue light and it's like little tiny knives, you know, into our eyes. And you see this in the research. You also see this in not so much in America, but like the French OSHA is called ANSI's. And they made a proclamation in 2015, which is a long time ago. And they said, do not use LEDs in the home or in the office. Only use them for industrial applications because they're so terribly damaging to our eyes and to our body. So we kind of know all this, you know, or it's not maybe mainstream, but the research is there. So mimicking the sunrise, even if you're in a really dark place, you know, is a really amazing use of our products. And then kind of flowing out of that, after dark, you don't want any blue light. The human body's not supposed to get blue light after the sun sets. And that's part of how our body kind of prepares itself to get ready for sleep and the nervous system and in the hormones. And so after dark, you can use the glow light or you can have actually a hearth. That's our whole sauna panel on a pedestal in the living room. And you can have your own hearth. You can have your own fireplace and you have blue light free, flicker free lighting that you can use to hang out and be with your family. And whether you're eating dinner or just hanging out on the couch, and you have a healthy source of light that's enjoyable and functional so that you don't have to be in complete darkness after dark. And the other thing that does is, like, you know, when you go home and we're tired, we worked all day, instead of turning on the TV, just turn on, you know, when I go home, I turn on the hearth. And there's like this, it's so opening for your relationships and your loved ones, the people you live with, to like, can you, we all used to have fireplaces and we had bonfires. And that experience, I think, naturally grounds people, makes them present, and opens them up to social interaction, to connection. There's a connection that happens that the light promotes. Yeah. And so you can use this in all these different areas, including it in any kind of routine that you do too. So if you're doing yoga, breath work, you've got a morning glow up routine, you know, for your face, the glow can be used as an adjunct to that, to just vibe it up, vibe the space up. We have a lot of yoga studios that have like tons of them all over the place. And I have this meditation cushion that vibrates. It's super cool. Like you just play a soundtrack through it that's like from the app, and it vibrates like really strong, and it helps. Like, it's amazing for breath work and meditation. But whenever I sit in that, I always have like the glow light in front of me. So I'm getting like the light and the vibration all together. It's just, it's incredible. I'm of course spoiled, you know, since I make them, but I've got one on my nightstand too. It's my reading light.
Yeah. I noticed I started to use it. I just bring it around with me in the house. Yeah. And then my wife and I often want it at the same time in different circumstances. So I'm like, we need a second one. Yeah. The world of light, I think, is very transformative to learn about, because all of a sudden we go, oh, there's so much I don't know, but now there's context to probably why I feel the way I feel, you know? And I remember years ago working in a workplace that had a bunch of fluorescent lights. And I remember thinking like, my eyes are getting worse. You know, like I was just all day in this like industrial space. It was an electronics store. TVs everywhere, phone, you know, all the stuff. And so now it's so interesting to really be mindful, also with LED bulbs, of getting non-flicker bulbs or getting the ones that mimic, that you can turn off and on, and they change the spectrum of the light.
Yeah.
To the time of day. I mean, like, mm-hmm. now that I'm doing this and also wearing, I wear a company called Lucia Eyes. I wear those, the red ones, at night if there's lights on. And to track my sleep, it's crazy to see, like, use the sauna space before I go to bed. But before all of that, I'm wearing these red bulbs if I watch TV or something.
Red lenses.
And my deep sleep went way up when I started using them, which was really cool. And my REM, like, everything changed.
Did you feel that when you woke up? Like, after, like, did you feel your sleep was more restful?
Yeah. Like, I just felt, at first it was hard to get used to the red lenses, because I'm like, oh, I want to be able to see more colors, you know, or whatever. But eventually it was actually the restfulness of my sleep that just made me super motivated to do that. Do you find the lenses impact the sleep in a good way, or?
Yeah, they do. Like, good friends with Matt of Raw Optics.
Oh yeah, Raw Optics. Those are beautiful glasses too.
Yeah, they make a beautiful product. It's a great way to adapt to our modern environment. When you first use it, everything looks brown, you know,
right?
Like your screen, and it's a little disconcerting. But then you stick with it, you use it for a few days. Like, for my computer screen, I use the night shift mode on all day long. It never turns off, and so everything is like orangey brown. And people always see it. They're like, your screen looks really weird. But the people who are courageous enough, I'm like, try it out for 3 days and you can't work, you know, without it anymore. And it's the same thing with those lenses. Yeah. The few times that I've, you know, go to the movie theater, I always bring, bring your blue blockers. And I prefer the red ones too. Those are the ones that are darker and redder are blocking a lot more blue light than the ones that are clear. Or kind of like yellow. So depending on the nature of your work, if you're doing Photoshop, you know, you need to see true color and stuff.
Yeah.
But for most of us, we're just doing, you know, document work and email work. And in the day, I don't use them all the time, but I will sometimes grab them and put them on. And certainly if I'm doing any kind of screen work in the evening, I try to remember to wear them. And you can definitely feel it. And especially in those, like, if you go to the movie theater, it's so bright and it's always at night. Yeah. Right. But if you, this is the one time I took my boys to a movie and I forgot them, and they had them and I didn't have it. And it really was, cause I'm so acclimated to not having that. It was very noticeable how stressful it was. It was a little bit annoying. It was like hard to enjoy the movie.
It's like when you turn on your TV after you've had the red lenses on and they're not on when you turn on the TV, you're like, oh my gosh, you actually realize how stressful it is. Yeah, I love this journey into the space of light EMF. And I think for the people listening, you know, this is really, I haven't really had a lot of these conversations specifically about light, blue light, but I've loved your product and just love like the sauna. I can't believe all the things it does. I'm just like, wow, okay, I got to get one of those. Mm-hmm. When I was learning about it in your podcast that you did with Luke, comparing the different types. So, man, I'm so grateful. Thanks for coming and sharing and, you know, just really the journey that you've been on that made you become such an expert in the space of light. And I think for a lot of people listening, it'll be the first time that they hear about its deep impact on mitochondrial function and hormones and everything. And that the solution is get more natural light, get a product that can help us in this synthetic world. So thanks for your time, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Grateful to be here and shine a little light on these subjects. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, man.